sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Wanted Boone fired. Still Meyer. I know many of you still do. And I never really wanted him fired, but I could understand that that's where it was going. 888-808-1019. Speaking about firings, we're talking a lot about possibly firing a Mets hitting coach, doing something to spark this team. What can they do? A lot of talk about firing Chavez. A lot of talk about bringing in another hitting instructor. I just saw a tweet from someone suggesting Carlos Beltran, obviously in the organization. You put him in that dugout, suddenly not only do you have a new hitting coach, but you've got someone else there to steal signs for you too. So maybe he could help offensively in two different areas. But our guy Fleegs on the other side has a strong opinion on bringing someone back to be the hitting coach. He just sent out a tweet too. Who do we want, Fleegs?
A guy who was here last year, not here this year, J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. That's not a terrible idea. When you think of J.D. Martinez and the leadership he brought last year, now obviously signed at the last minute, took a while to get his season started, kind of was the spark of kind of the better play, you know, with a couple of big hits. Obviously cooled off dramatically as the season went on, still looking for a job. I don't think he's officially hung it up. I think he's still looking for someone to give him a call, maybe before September 1st. But I could see the Mets, I think they are in need of it. And I was listening to the Rico Bronya a little bit on my way in today with Evan, and he was talking about how there's a feeling of a lack of leadership with this team. As much as Juan Soto can impact the young kids by his work ethic and just watching a great hitter hit and you know, maybe talking hitting, I don't know if Juan Soto is the leader type, at least not right now. Even with his contract, even with his status, I don't know if I would view him as one of the leaders of this team. Obviously, Lindor took the bull by the horns last year, called the meeting, spoke out about the meeting to the media, and then went off and let his play do the talking a lot, and has been, you know, right here to be called the next captain of the New York Mets any day now. But outside of him, there really has, it's felt like, and if you remember how they talked about J.D. Martinez last year, about like the older brother and could always talk hitting, and he is one of the better professional hitters of the era. I mean, had a really kind of crazy career, was all over the place, Arizona, Detroit, Dodgers, Boston, Mets, and everywhere he went, you know, he had success, he had good years, he had some down years, but last year with the Mets was definitely a shoulder that they leaned on, was definitely an ear that they all used. Getting him back, because again, it's not so much about a hitting coach with technical ability and everything. You want to try and build some confidence in this group right now. And again, Mendy talked about the belief in the process and the conviction in the process. And I wonder, because it kind of could be taken multiple ways on what he's talking about. Because to bring up the conviction in the process speaks to the coaching staff and the process. And there's been a lot of talk about his coaches. There's been a lot of talk about Chavez. There's been a lot of talk about, even if it's just firing for firing's sake, you know, firing for shakeup's sake. For him to specifically talk about conviction in the process and that the players need to have that faith. You could read it multiple ways. I read it as kind of, hey, get off my coaching staff. We have a plan here. We work real hard. How about the meetings, team meetings? We meet every day. We go over all this stuff every day. We got to believe in what we're doing out there. And we got to be able to adjust. He talked about we go into the meetings and it's like, all right, he's going to try and get our right-handers out with two-seam fastballs. He's going to try and do this. He's going to try and do that. And then you as a player, he was getting on the players. You as a player has to adjust. You have to adjust one time through. We can have all the scouting reports in the world, and then you come out and you see him through one time through the lineup, and he's doing it a little bit differently, or he's trying to attack you differently and go against his norms, then you got to figure it out. So it was almost like I kind of took it, and I saw a couple people taking it differently. Even me and Fleeks had a conversation about it. I took it as like, hey, this is on the players. We have a good plan. We have a good coaching staff. They've got to have conviction in what they're doing, and then they have to be able to adapt once they've seen a pitcher one time through and make the adapt to what he's doing differently than maybe our scouting report is or what he's done in the past. And so to me, it was almost like a direct, hey, get off my coaches. This is about the players, and they're better than this, and they know that, and they've got to trust the process and all that crap. Again, saying the same stuff we are killing the Yankees for saying. Killing! So I think of J.D. Martinez, if he would be willing to come here, we saw Sean, in 2023 they brought in Sean Casey. Now, Sean Casey, for the New York Yankees, had no connection to the actual players on the team. You know, he was a roommate and a buddy with the manager, but no real connection with the players. J.D. Martinez was here last year. J.D. Martinez was a part and actually kind of got a kick-started that great run to the NLCS last year. That's a guy that would be welcomed in the room. That's a guy they would love to see. That's a guy they could just talk to. I mean, Vientos in particular, we're trying to get Vientos going and back to the same player he was last year. How much credit did Mark Vientos give to J.D. Martinez last year? How much did he talk about how important he was to him? I mean, sometimes you got to, no one wants to hang on to players who can't hit anymore. Nobody wants to have a roster full of, you know, nothing but leaders. Leadership is great. You need players. But if for the last 2 months of the year, J.D. Martinez was willing to come in here and be a part of just the team, get back with the organization, help these young kids that he did a lot for last year. I mean, if he would be into that, I think that would be a huge addition to this team, only because we saw it work last year. If it was out of nowhere, I'm not saying, like, go find some professional hitter anywhere and bring him to the team. Specifically, J.D. Martinez and his impact with last year's run and how great they were. Because we forget, I mean, I don't know if we do, Met fans shouldn't, and I don't think we necessarily do, but they didn't just make a nice run. Like, they were the best team in baseball for the second half of the year since June. They had the best record in the sport. And you're looking to get some of these young kids hitting, and not only did he help Mark Vientos, but who's to say he can't help the other young hitters? Maybe it's a talent, and it's a different role. And whenever you're, you know, part of the team and you're another hitter on the team and they can watch you hit the ball, it's different than just being a coach. But that would be a really interesting hire. I think Fleeks is onto something here. That would be, if you fired, how would Met fans feel right now? Let me know. 888-808-1019. They fire Chavez, bring in J.D. Martinez to this team. Now, Chavez is a good coach. Chavez was coveted by both the Yankees and the Mets. I read an article just recently that he would be a name at the top of the list to replace Aaron Boone if Aaron Boone would ever be fired. I don't think Chavez is someone who's viewed as the real problem here, but he's been here long enough. The offense has never been the driving force of the team. Even last year when they went on the run, the offense was better than it is right now on some levels. Clearly, Lindor was better than he is right now. Vientos is better than he is right now. But it was still done by mainly pitching. I mean, the pitching down the stretch of the season last year was incredible. Even Quintana. Quintana was incredible. Peterson was incredible. Manaea was incredible. Like, they had a bunch of guys just pitching the best second halves or the best 2 months of arguably their careers. That was really the driving force of the team. So I think that would be something if J.D. Martinez was willing to do it. And then, let's be totally honest, you don't even have to fire anybody. You can just bring J.D. Martinez in and hire another guy and not have him as the hitting coach. Just have him in, be part of the staff, hang out with the guys. Now, I don't know if Eric Chavez would be too thrilled with it, but who gives a damn? Let's go to Chris in Secaucus. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Mac. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, brother. What's going on?
Love you. Love how funny you are. You're real. I love what you're talking about with the Mets hitting coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mets are 15th in the league in runs per game this year.
Yep.
You think about, you sign Soto for $1 billion. You have Alonso. You have Nimmo. You have Lindor. I think it's just making a change this late is hard. as you know. But the Rangers fired their hitting coach in May, and they're now in the playoff mix.
And they went from the 23rd offense to the 4th offense.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Chavez, like, he was the bench coach, then back to the hitting coach. Like, he's probably a good coach, but is he the right guy? You know, and Mets, I talked about all the high-priced guys, but the Beatty, Mauricio, there's players that haven't grown. Vientos took a step back. Like, who has gotten better besides Pete, you know, from last year? You want to see a hitting coach elevate guys like Kevin Long did with Murphy 10 years ago? You know, he changed Murph's career. I don't know if we have a guy. Can I give you one name just for kicks here at the end?
Sure.
I think Pete would love if Donnie Stevenson came back. Remember Donnie Stevenson, 2022? Thank you, C-Mac.
You got it. I forgot about that. I forgot about Donnie. How could you forget about Donnie? Oh, my God. I forgot about Donnie. Was it... Donnie Stevenson. I forgot about Donnie. Oh, Pete is a kooky guy, that Pete Alonso, I tell you. That's what they need right now. They need a little Donnie in their lives. They need a little playoff pumpkin. They need a little... They haven't had that this year. They haven't had their grimace. For a while there, with the 7-game winning streak, it was the backyard baseball and Elmo for a minute, but that hasn't really stuck. And now they've lost 8 of 9, so... But Donnie, do you remember how ridiculous that was? Oh... That's funny. Chris in Washington, D.C. What's up, Chris?
Hey, man. What's going on?
What's up? Listen,
you know what? I remember the days when Juan Soto came in here. He was doing well and stuff. But $765 million. It's not a billion. It's $765 million.
So pretty close. Three quarters of a billion.
Listen, you don't have to worry about this. It's going to be you guys against the Phillies, the Nats. Nothing. Nothing's going on with them. You'll be fine. I will tell you this. I think there's the concern with the pitching along the way. Think about bullpen. It's not bullpen. It's gotta be Soto. I gotta make this play. I gotta make this hit. I gotta make this play. It's gotta be that.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's hard to argue with. You got to make this play, you got to make that play. It's Juan Soto. I don't disagree. I think Juan Soto, I'm half joking with you, but it's $750 million. He's got to be better than this. He's hitting 136 over the last 16 games. They haven't played very well. He's got to be better. So I agree with you. It's not the pitching, but he's not the only one in the lineup, but they got to hit.
And somehow Aaron Judge is thinking about, you know what? I could have made $400 million if it went that way. But, you know, what are you going to do? But it's going to be Juan. I'm telling you. The Mets are going to cruise. They're going to get through this. They'll figure this out.
Okay. So, I like your confidence.
Yeah. By the way, here in D.C., the Nats, we're done. It's over.
Well, for the season, you got a lot of young talent. I'm surprised the Nats have been so bad this year because they've got a lot of young talent. The trade that they made for Juan Soto is really, you know, as much as they're losing right now, it's added a ton of young players to this roster. So they fired their coach. They fired their general manager. Next year will begin a new era of Washington Nationals baseball that I couldn't care less about. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dave in Rockland County. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Big Mac?
What's up, brother?
Kudos to Aaron Boone for using David Bednar in his actual role.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he used him almost in his actual role every time he's pitched him so far. So, but yes, he saved him the other night instead of using him instead of Williams. But he had him last night for the closer role. He came in and got a 5-out save for the New York Yankees in a must-win game. He threw 40 pitches. Boone came out there and was ready to take him out. And Bednar said, I'm not leaving this mound. Left him out there, and he got the job done. That was a big, big time performance. And I agree with you. I think that that settles it. I'm not saying every single save situation will go to Bednar, depending on how much he's been used or whatever. But the closer for the New York Yankees is absolutely Bednar. He is the closer of the Yankees right now.
Also, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that the reason why the Giants took so little for Doval is because he gets kind of wild at sometimes. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been a little bit of an experiment over there. He's had his issues. He can be wild. Last year, we saw Juan Soto take him deep to blow a save. The Yankees came back and won that game. He's not perfect, but he's a closer with over 100 career saves. He throws the ball 100 miles an hour. He's got really good stuff. But yeah, I mean, you don't give up on that type of pitcher for what they gave up if they thought he was perfect. And plus, they're just selling. They had an opportunity to sell and get some prospects back. I still think he's a really good arm. And I think he's going to be, but is he perfect? No, he's not Mariano Rivera. If you are, in fact, no one else but him is, but I expect him to be good right now. I think that's the setup. I think the top three are clearly Weaver, Doval, and Bednar. I think Bednar's the closer. Those are your two setup men. Throw Tim Hill in there to get some lefties out, or, you know, go through that kind of lefty lane. And then we'll see if Cruz comes back, lighter pitched in this game, and then Devin Williams is all the way at the bottom. And I think, you know, I'd be surprised if they're not going to give up on him. And people saying that I see a lot on social media, and people have hit me up saying they should just release Devin Williams. They're not releasing Devin Williams. You're crazy. They're certainly not releasing him now before he can get picked up and join a playoff roster. That ain't happening. And I still think, call me crazy, I know they've got, and we'll get to the Yankee game. I'll take a quick break in a second, and we'll come out. We'll talk a little Yankees as well. We'll still take your Met calls at 888-808-1019. But just on the bullpen thing for a second here, is we did watch the Yankees win a game yesterday against Texas, and David Bednar come in for the 5-out save and get it done and really show some guts and throw 40 pitches and be a bull out there. But Bednar's the closer. Those two guys are the setup men. You got Tim Hill. You'll hopefully have Cruz and Leiter. But I still think, especially the way postseasons go, if the Yankees are going to win the World Series, if the Yankees are going to do what they want to do, you're going to need Devin Williams to be close to what he is. And maybe pitching in the fifth and sixth. Now, again, I'm not saying he should ever get back to the end of the game. That is it for me. I said it the other night. I meant it. I sort of understood going back to him in that situation just because where they were in the bullpen. I hated sticking with him, clearly. But now that's it. Now that's it. Now there's a day off. Leiter has been reintroduced. You got Tim Hill. You've got Bednar as your closer. You've got Doval. You've got Weaver. He doesn't have to be in the eighth inning, seventh inning of a tie game. I'm with you. But you're going to need him to be something. They're not going to just give up on him. We have not seen the end of Devin Williams. And I still think the same thing I thought of Clay Holmes last year. Everybody thought the same thing. That's it. He's lost his closer role. Get him the hell out. Don't even put him on the playoff roster. That's what half the fan base wanted. Don't even put him on the playoff roster. And then he went out there and through his first 9 innings didn't give up a run. And was the first guy out of the bullpen getting out of jams that the starting pitcher left in the 5th and 6th. Like, he was extremely important to their run to the World Series last year. I could see a similar thing for Devin Williams. You got to get him right. I'm not giving up on Devin Williams, but there are enough arms where he doesn't have to be in any more leverage situations. That's it. It's over. Now that Leiter's back, you're still waiting for Cruz to come back. All the other two relievers are fully acclimated. Weaver looks great. That's it. He doesn't have to pitch in any more big-time situations, but you can't just ignore him, and I still want him to get figured out because I still believe, you know, he's still a, over the last 5 years, he's been one of the best relievers in baseball. Like, that doesn't go away right now. And I know it's with the Yankees, but maybe in lesser situations he can find himself. I'm not just giving up on him. I'm giving up on him as the closer or late inning guy, but I can't just say that's it for Devin Williams. Release him. He's not going to be in the bullpen come postseason time. I'm not there yet. If he continues to stink in every role they put him in from now until then we'll talk. But I'm not ready to just give up on Devin Williams as being a useful piece in this bullpen. 888-808-1009. But we'll come back and get more into the specifics of the Yankee win yesterday, the managerial moves by Aaron Boone, pinch hitting Goldschmidt for the big home run, sticking with his gut and sticking with Bednar, going to him with a five-out save and then sticking with him in the ninth. A lot to that game. Still not enough offense. Still would like to see more. Still issues with Jazz struggling. And, you know, Judge did get a hit, but had a miserable at-bat in the first inning on a 3-0 inside fastball against Leiter. Pops it up instead of taking that pitch and having first and second. So there's still some things to worry about. There's a lot of things. They haven't snapped that many things. They're 1-5 in their last six. Don't get it twisted. Nobody's too excited here. But that was a very big win that they desperately needed, because heading back home to take on the Astros, who did lose yesterday, but to come home and take on the Astros on a six-game losing streak and on the outside looking in on the playoffs would have been a disaster for the New York Yankees. Disaster. So crisis averted at the moment, but the nemesis shows up to the Bronx Friday night.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 1:30. Big Monocle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Yankees with a big win. We spent the first hour and a half talking about the Mets as they have been swept by the Cleveland Guardians. They've lost eight of their last nine. The offense is the major problem with this team. Nothing new. Fans seem to want to blame, at least some fans seem to want to talk pitching more than anything else, which is completely nuts to me. This is the offense. They were almost no hit last night, or yesterday rather, at Citi Field. But they weren't. Juan Soto hits the home run to make it a 4-1 loss instead of a 4-0 no-hit loss. They've lost eight of nine. They are 2.5 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies, and their offense continues to struggle. And you look at the Yankees, they got a big win yesterday. Now, make no mistake, because I know many of you think I'm going to come on here and like gloat, and I'm not gloating. I don't know how any Yankee fan could. I don't think anyone's that hubris. This Yankee team is still struggling until they're not, and one win does not make it so, and one tight win that, man, they needed every bit of what they got from David Bednar at the end of that game, but at least there were some positive signs with this team. One, I thought they played a really good, clean, crisp game. Like, the only thing I guess is they've got the catcher's interference late in the game, which sucks, but outside of that, defensively, much better. They turned a bunch of double plays. I thought Anthony Volpe, let's be honest, we crush him when we can, and by no means am I saying he won't spike one tomorrow or throw a ball away or make a critical error tomorrow, because that's the season he's having. But really, over the last four or five games, Anthony Volpe has pretty much made every throw. Anthony Volpe has made almost every play. He turned a big double play the other night when it looked like Jazz wasn't at the bag and he had to do it himself. He's played much better. They turned a couple of really nice double plays between him and Jazz. McMahon turned a big double play. So defensively, they played well. They were pushing things on the base path. Dominguez steals third. Ball goes into the outfield. Steals a cheap run. Like, a lot what you were looking for was pretty good. Let's start with the starting pitcher, too, before we get to David Bednar in the big situation. Carlos Rodon in this game. Not great. Five innings, two runs. Kept them in it. You know, I thought a ball dropped on him that should have never dropped. It was up in the air for far too long to land in no man's land for me, and Dominguez still struggles defensively. I don't think there's any two ways around it. He doesn't get great jumps on the ball. He's got speed to cover that up sometimes, but not enough. And especially line drives hit right at him or, you know, right over his head or in front of him, he's just not very good. And I thought that ball dropped when it shouldn't have, but still, Rodon a little wild, walked too many guys. He walks the leadoff man in the sixth, and Aaron Boone is very aggressive going to the bullpen in that spot and not allowing Rodon to go further into the game. But still, Rodon is, we're always looking for, you know, that kind of answer to can he pitch in a big game. This was a huge game for the New York Yankees, make no mistake. And while the Texas offense has been much better, overall not so good this year, has been much better since Brett Boone took over the hitting coaching department, and they've been good enough to beat the Yankees the first two games and come back and beat the bullpen on a nightly basis. So This was a huge game, and he pitched fairly well. Five innings, two runs, you'll take it. It's not a dominant performance. It's still, like, better. But it wasn't the implosion that we fear from Carlos Rodon. So five innings, two runs from Carlos Rodon, good enough to give this team an opportunity to score some runs and win a baseball game. But I thought it was a good game for Boone. And I think that's kind of the feeling off of this game, is that it at least for one day, because I talked about it yesterday, and while I didn't have the conviction, which is a word we've been throwing around with the Mets today, I didn't have the conviction to tell you I believe Aaron Boone should be fired, because I don't. Like, I don't want Aaron Boone fired. I'll be totally honest with you. You know me. No, I want nothing more than to have the Yankees win a championship, first and foremost. And second, I want nothing more to have it be with Aaron Boone as the manager, so I can tell all of you to stick it. But I have to be honest about my assessment with the team and what's going on. And I think over the last few weeks, he's done a really poor job. And since that Friday night loss, it fell to the Marlins, where they blew that game that they were up 6-0 and 9-4, and every single member of the new trade deadline acquisitions blew the game for them. Like, I just felt like that moment and that game impacted the team in such a negative way, and he's been unable to help it in any manner. And so yesterday, I felt like if they would have lost this game and headed into the break, or the off day, should I say, heading home to take on the Astros, there would have been a chance that the Yankees would have fired him. Like, I think there would have been it would have made sense, and it would have been hard to argue with. That's how bad this could have gotten if they lost that game. And I know you could say, if you're a Yankee fan, well, listen, man, it happens. If you're a Boone fan, his closer blew the game. Like, if Doval comes in, everybody would have loved to seen Doval or Bednar, the way he's pitching now, come in and pitch the other night. But we saw them their first game as Yankees. They blew the game. Bednar gave up a home run and a base hit. Doval blew a two-run lead. Like, so you look at that game and you go, is it really on the manager? The guys were clamoring for to be closer now. He let them be closer then, and they blew the game. Then he goes to Devin Williams, who I was screaming for to pitch on that Friday night. He blows the game. I mean, how much is it on a manager when their closers and top relievers blow multiple run leads and give up home runs to Jacques Peterson, who might be the worst hitter in Major League Baseball this season? But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Obviously, all the sloppy play and just the feeling of the team and the interview he gave, and we talked about this all yesterday. And I think the feeling now is, coming off of that game, Aaron Boone had a good game. And it doesn't mean he's a great manager. It doesn't mean he's not a problem. It doesn't mean the screws might not get tightened up again if they get swept by the Astros. But coming off of that game where he was aggressive going to the bullpen to get Carlos Rodon out and went to Leiter, he was aggressive to go to Bednar and take out Tim Hill and get a five-out save from him. And then he went out there, which, again, against the books, against the grain, against the analytics, 40 pitches for a closer trying to get five outs after giving up a walk and a base hit. The move probably, if you're going by the idea he's nothing but a binder guy, the move is probably to take out Bednar there and go to Doval. Instead, he sticks with him, and we saw Bednar. This is the first real game we have seen him as a New York Yankee. That was just an absolute gutted out. He wasn't perfect. He gives up a base runner when he comes in the eighth and then pitches around it. And then in the ninth, I thought he had Seager struck out. It's called ball four. Then he gives up a base hit, and now you're back to pacing. You're holding your breath. You're thinking, oh my God, if the Yankees blow this game, what a disaster it would be. And David Bednar came in and was a bull, like just a bull, and the energy and the excitement, like he gave off a little bit of that closer aura, which we haven't seen since the end of the year last year with Weaver, because he gives it off too. But Bednar, he came in, he strikes guys out, he throws hard, he's got good stuff, he's got that good breaking ball, he's got the split finger, he gets swings and misses, he gets out lefties as good as he gets out righties. Like, he emerged yesterday as the man at the back end of this bullpen. I don't think there's any doubt. We could talk about bullpen by committee. We could talk about whatever you want. Dave Bednar stood up yesterday in a game they desperately needed and got a five-out save and did it while throwing a ton of pitches and battling through and sending the manager, who came out and admitted, said he came out to take him out of the game, turned and looked at the manager and said, get back into the dugout. I mean, not in those exact terms, but you get what I'm saying. Nope, this is my game. That's what you're looking for. And I'm pleased with Aaron Boone in the idea that he allowed that to happen. Now, if Bednar gives up a three-run bomb there to Garcia, we're all thinking, oh my God, what an idiot. How did you let Bednar talk him into staying into this game? That's the fine line that is the great game of baseball. But the way it went down, that was a big-time gut-check moment for the New York Yankees. And that was a big-time gut-check moment from the manager. And that was a game that I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think it's crazy to say save the manager's job. Now, I don't know for sure, but it felt like it was getting to that level pitch. It was getting to that, like, extreme. And we will see. If they get swept by the Astros, they go right back there. There's no doubt this isn't – they haven't turned the corner. They haven't done it. This is a tight, hard-fought game. Like, all three games were in the series, let's be honest. And that's the other thing that's frustrating about it. Same thing with the Mets, right? Same thing with the Mets. But with the Yankees right now, you look at this series, and you look at that five-game losing streak, they have Miami beat in the first game of that series. Haven't beat. They're up six runs. They haven't beat. They get shut down offensively, but those are tight, well-pitched games the last two games. They have a lead on Sunday. Those are not games that they didn't give themselves a chance. Those aren't games where they were overmatched. And then in this Texas series specifically, they've got a one-run lead in the ninth, and the closer gives up a home run to the worst hitter in baseball, and then it's a tie game in the eighth inning on Saturday. They are right in these games. They are right there. The Texas Rangers didn't show that they are better than the Yankees in this series. They were shut down by Nathan Eovaldi, but their pitching did just the same. They won game three, and they absolutely should have won game one. And that's what's frustrating about this entire stretch, this entire season. They had games won. You could point to Devin Williams and literally say he's the reason they are five or six games worse than what they are. And I know you could have said that about Clay Holmes last year. It didn't feel the same. Clay Holmes didn't give up home runs that, you know, and blow four-run leads on multiple occasions and three-run leads. Like, he was just a disaster for them. And to have Bednar step up, and not just step up and get it done, but do it in that manner, knowing that, you know, Weaver had pitched back-to-back days, so he wasn't going to pitch. You know that Doval had pitched back-to-back days, and Boone did say he had him as an emergency reliever, but probably trying to stay away from him. And Bednar stepped up and got a five-out save, did it where I think he got squeezed against Seager, and he had to overcome it, and he turned the manager back and said, nope, this is my game. That was exactly what the New York Yankees needed. They needed that game in the worst way. And Goldschmidt with the pinch hit home run, that was another good move from Boone. He could have obviously pinch hit Stanton there looking for the home run. He goes with Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt has now, after having, I don't know, no home runs in the last 5 months, that's what it felt like. I couldn't even remember. He had one in the opening series against Milwaukee. I can't remember another home run the guy hit all year. He has two home runs in this series, including that game winner yesterday. Big moment for him. And I think the New York Yankees just bought themselves a little bit of relief. And hopefully, especially with the way Bednar ended it, hopefully it's the kind of game that can spark them a little bit and get them going. But by no means does this do anything other than just ease off the tension for a day. Have a flight back home from Texas to the Bronx feeling a little bit better about yourself. And they did play a good, clean, crisp baseball game. And they were good defensively, and they were good on the base paths, and they pushed the pressure, and they got a free run out of it, and then they answered some questions in the bullpen. You feel a hell of a lot better about the Yankees, but it lasts the day. Because if you look at the pitching matchup that they've got, they're seeing Brown and Valdez the first two games of this series. Like, they're throwing out Schlittler. I think it's Brown versus Schlittler and Valdez versus Luis Gil. I mean, those two pitching matchups are extremely favored in the direction of the Houston Astros. These next two games are going to be tough to win. Then you got Max Fried. I believe it's to be determined who Astros are going to throw in game three, but you got Max Fried on the mound in that game. He's got to be much better. He's got to be much better. But those first two games, you got Brown, who's, you know, a Cy Young candidate, going up against Cam Schlittler. And then you've got Valdez, who's been, you know, one of the more consistent starting pitchers in the game the last handful of years, and lefty to boot. Now, I know the Yankees do have some new additions that they've added to the team that can handle left-handed pitching, but, you know, Valdez has been an excellent pitcher in this league against Luis Gil, making a second start of the season after a not-so-great one to start. So, I mean, they are right back in the fire Friday night. But at least for one day, they calm themselves. They are now a game and a half up. And in the final wild card, they gained a game on Boston, who lost yesterday to Kansas City. Toronto was out there kicking ass in Colorado, scored 20 runs again. So the division stays 6.5, but they pick up a game on Boston. They pick up a game on Texas to stay in the postseason. The manager had a good night, an instinctual night, a night where he went by his gut instead of the book, and it served him well. And just for at least one day, the Yankees get to kind of cool it off a little bit. But it goes right back into it. Now, because there's been a lot of talk of the schedule. And the Yankee schedule does lighten up, but not just yet. Because the Houston Astros are coming to town throwing their two best pitchers at them. And we all know what happens when the Yankees play the Astros. This is a big series coming up. And you feel good, even though Max Fried hasn't been great, you feel good about the chances, at least, to win the game Sunday. So, to me, the goal going in right now is take Friday, find a way to win Friday or Saturday. And then you feel at least you got a chance with your ace on the mound, who hasn't pitched like one for his last four or five starts, but at least you have Fried on the mound on Sunday. Figure out a way to get one of these two. Friday night is a huge win. You get that Friday night win, you put two back-to-back wins together, you know, Schlittler throws the ball well, maybe the offense explodes a little bit. And then you know at least you got Fried on the mound on Sunday, no matter what happens on Saturday. Friday is a big game. And then we'll get to Aaron Judge, and he was throwing the ball a little bit, and the idea that now Stanton, who is as hot as anyone on the team, hasn't played for the last 2 days. And what's going to happen Friday night? Is Judge not going to be in the lineup Friday night? Are they going to have a left-hander on against Valdez on Saturday and not have Giancarlo Stanton against a left-handed pitcher in the lineup? Judge has come back. He's played both games. Stanton hasn't. Now Stanton has an off day. That's 3 days in a row. I know Stanton got an at-bat on the other night, but that's going to be 3 days in a row without regular at-bats for Giancarlo Stanton. And if they bring in Judge to play on Friday night, you're talking about four straight games with a guy whose swing is as, you know, up and down as anyone in game. The guy could hit three home runs, and that fourth at-bat would look like he's never played baseball before. That's who Giancarlo Stanton is. How many days in a row can you give Giancarlo Stanton no at-bats? Hopefully Judge is ready to go play in the outfield soon, because I don't know how they make it work. But at least for one day, we feel better about your New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Andrew in Brantford. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, brother? How are you?
First thing... Good, man. How are you?
Good.
First thing, you're my favorite on the fan, so it's a pleasure to finally talk with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's cool to talk to you, too, brother. Thank you.
No, thanks, man. But unbiased opinion, try to be as unbiased as possible. What are the chances? I mean, it seems like everybody else is hot right now except us. What in the league, at least, like, what are the chances we actually hang on, make the playoffs, and go win the whole thing, you know?
Well, I mean, now you threw a lot at me there. The chances they make the playoffs, I still think they are a playoff team. I will, until they don't do it. Now, in 23, I know they didn't in 23. To me, this is a far, far, far better team than the 23 version of New York Yankees. That team,
I agree.
That team stunk, and especially without Judge, it was, I mean, they had, you know, again, I say it a lot, Willie Calhoun was hitting cleanup for that team. Like, that's how bad it was. So, like, I don't view that as the same as right now. To me, I can't remember the last time I felt going into the season, or at least halfway through the season, that the Yankees had a surefire playoff team without question, and then they missed it. So, and that's not to throw a parade for that, or to say, oh, I'm not making T-shirts saying, you know, they've never missed the playoffs when I thought they wouldn't. Like, but I'm just being honest. They always seem to accomplish at least that when I think they're good enough. So until they don't, I will believe they will. I think this is still a playoff team. So for me, honestly, I would put it at 90% they're going to make the playoffs. I feel that strong. Okay. I feel that strongly about it. Now, win the World Series? I mean, you know, only one team does that. I don't know. What are the odds they win the World Series? I'll be generous and say 15%. Like, I don't know. But I can tell you this. It's zero until they get in. So let's get in. Let's do what I think they're going to accomplish. And then anything could happen. We have seen teams who are lesser than the New York Yankees, who have had stretches just as bad or worse than the New York Yankees have had right now, get hot at the right time and go on a run. And I don't look as hot as you said. You're right. I mean, Toronto has been the better team now for the last 2.5 months plus without question. They had a brief little 5 out of 6 loss series. Tough stretch against Baltimore there for a second, but they went out to Colorado and scored, I don't know, 1,000 runs. They won 20-1 yesterday. They scored double-digit runs in all 3 games against Colorado. They are 6.5 up. The division is going to be very tough to win, considering they have the tiebreaker against the Yankees as well. So that is a very tough hill to climb to try and get back into the top of the division. The Boston Red Sox are as hot as anybody. They lost yesterday, but they won 9 out of their last 10. They had won 7 in a row. They have really come on. They just signed their young stud Roman Anthony to a long term deal. They're feeling good in Boston. They're feeling vindicated for trading away their superstar third baseman / first baseman / DH / didn't want to play Devers, who when they sent him out to San Francisco. So they're peacocking. They're strutting their stuff. They're feeling really good. But again, when you look at the team, are they far better than the Yankees? That the Yankees can't beat the Boston Red Sox, or the Yankees beat the Toronto Blue Jays?
I'm saying on paper, this team. I mean, of course, paper in the field is very different. But on paper, I think this team is even better than last year. That even went to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the start, and thank you for the call, Andrew. Outside of having Cole in the rotation, because as much as I thought Fried was that guy. And I'll tell you, the first 2 starts were okay for Fried, and then he went on a run of, you know, 12 or 13 just incredible starts. And I was saying it when it was happening, like, even Gerrit Cole winning a Cy Young in 23, I don't think he ever had a stretch of 10 starts that were better than Max Fried's 10 starts. He was incredible. But that has not been the case for the last month. It just hasn't. And you know, Gerrit Cole has proven to be an ace. So it's tough to say, you know, the starting pitching was better because they at least had their ace. But outside of that, and Juan Soto was a tremendous player for the Yankees last year, great player. But the lineup is far deeper. I don't disagree with you. The bench is far better. I don't disagree with you. Right now, the bullpen. Now, we'll see. They got to continue doing this. But the bullpen is far better. Like, honestly, last year, you had Weaver at the end that you felt really good about, and Clay Holmes was pitching in the fifth. But how many times did they have to go to Mark Leiter in big spots after having a miserable regular season? Like, they didn't really have, you know, Tim Hill did a good job for them. They were, you know, they put Nestor Cortez in the bullpen because they didn't have other options. Like, this bullpen right now with the acquisitions they made at the trade deadline should be, and they've got to go prove it now over the next month or 2 months. But this bullpen should be better than last year's team, too. So to me, the middle of the lineup isn't as good because Soto and Judge are a combination like Manny and Poppy, or, you know, Mickey and Maris. Like, it was literally that good. It was historic. But I think the overall amount of good hitters in the lineup is better today. I don't think there's any doubt. The bench is far better today than it was last year, and the bullpen should be better. So, yeah, you could make the argument that the team that went to the World Series last year isn't as good as this team. Now, they went out and proved it and went to the World Series. This team right now is a game and a half out and not making the playoffs. So we could say that all we want, but they got to go prove it. But I still look at them as a team that is capable of being in the same place they were last year. I still feel that way. I still feel they're capable of it. If you ask me right now, will they do it? The answer is no. They have not shown us anything like that. They have not shown us the ability to go and beat a good team. Like, they just haven't, not in a while. So I can't tell you that I'm confident that they will. I can't. I'd be lying to you if I told you I was confident. But I also feel I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't believe they could. Or that they're not, there's something inherently wrong with them. Or that, you know, the culture brought on by Hal and Cash and Boone somehow eliminates them from getting back to the World Series or winning a championship. I don't agree with that assessment. I don't. I don't think the season's over. I don't think this team can't accomplish anything. I have to be honest. I look at this team. I see the amount of good players. If Judge can come back healthy, if he can get back in the outfield and you throw Stanton in this lineup, if Max Fried can turn back into the ace he was for the first 20 starts of the season, if Carlos Rodon is at least as good as he was yesterday in the playoffs, and if the bullpen looks like it can be, I absolutely think the Yankees can go win the World Series. Not just get there, win the whole damn thing. I honestly believe they could. Do I have much confidence that they will? I don't have much confidence that they will at all. I think it's far more likely that they don't get out of the wild card round than it is that they win the World Series. But that's why you play the games. Let's get there. Get to the playoffs and see what happens. Because I'm telling you right now, Yankee fans, if they get to the wild card and they win that series and head to the ALDS, you are going to feel better. They've won a series. Here they are in the ALDS. You're going to feel like, hey, we got a shot. Who can't they beat? Who can't they beat? But right now, we're a long way from that. And one win off a five-game losing streak doesn't make me feel all that much better. And I'm not really here to glorify them or talk about their World Series chances, because right now it feels like that's their World Series chance. Zero. But they are capable of it. And we'll see if yesterday was just a one-off win when they go right back to their terrible baseball, or can they build off a really important win, an emotional win, and a win that at least staves off, you know, the wolves at the door who are ready to eat the manager.